Welcome back to the Nick Taylor Horror Show. As always, each episode of the Nick Taylor Horror Show explores how today's horror filmmakers are getting their movies made while deconstructing their methods and career strategies into practical insights that you can use on your own horror filmmaking journey. This includes creative processes, funding resources, favorite books and tools, key life lessons, and much, much more. Hey everyone, I am trying something a little different here. After 100 episodes where I've mostly focused on the guests, I'm introducing The Howl, a new recurring segment named after my newsletter of the same name. Once a month, I'll be joining forces with my friend Adam Cruz, and we're going to summarize and discuss the past month's horror news, share what we've watched recently, and just generally nerd out about all things horror. You might know Adam best from his Instagram account, Murder Memes, which I will link to in the show notes. Adam is also the creator of Blood and Banter, a horror-centric conversational card game, which is a ton of fun, which we've actually talked about on the show a few times. So The Howl is all about catching you up on what's happening in horror, delivering some solid movie recommendations, and hopefully entertaining you all the while. Note that this is a new segment, and we're likely going to change things around and refine the format as we go along, and would love to hear from you on what you liked, didn't like, want more of, etc. So without further ado, here is me, Nick Taylor, in conversation with Adam Cruz on a new monthly segment we're calling The Howl. Dude, we're live.
We are live.
All right. After all this setup, here we are.
I know.
Finally. Cool. Yeah. Psyched we finally got to do this. I know we've been talking about doing this for a long time. Lots to talk about in the horror world. So why don't we start with, it's our first episode. So do we want to get into our top five favorite horror movies of all time to give the listeners a taste of who we are and our taste?
I think so. Let me pull up.
All right, cool. So we're going to do top five favorite horror, just to kind of give everybody a sense of where we stand on certain movies. So why don't I go first? This is in no particular order, and these change all the time. Fair. I'll do sort of a countdown. Some of these are in no particular order. Number one is my number one, though.
Oh, really? Wait, yeah. are you going to lead up to number one?
Lead up to number one.
Okay.
But the other ones are in like no particular order. Well, first of all, let me ask. Do things like Ghostbusters and Beetlejuice count as horror?
That's a good question. I would say no.
Okay. So I'll leave those out. All right.
Because
so,
I think horror falls into the category of like scary. I mean, maybe as a kid it could be scary, but
yeah,
you know, horror I think is like horrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No gateway horror allowed.
Yeah.
For this.
Fair.
Okay, cool. All right. So top five, and these change all the time. Evil Dead 2. And I'll say to the listeners, there's nothing remotely original about my list. You're probably going to be disappointed. If you're looking for some new, cool, different shit, you're not going to find it here. I like the classics. Evil Dead 2, it just never disappoints.
Now, Evil Dead 2 over Evil Dead 1.
Yes.
Right? It's funny because I was like that for the longest time, but when I go back and rewatch Evil Dead 1 now, I like it so much more.
Really?
Yeah. I think 2 starts
getting... You like it more than 2?
Yeah, 2 starts getting a little bit too silly. At points.
Okay.
But.
One, they still were figuring out whether they wanted to be funny or not.
Yeah.
It wasn't so funny. It had some funniness in it. But you could tell they were not all in on it being a comedy.
Yeah.
With number 2 was like Three Stooges.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I liked them one because all the really crude looking claymation sequences that they had were so awesome.
Well, I think especially you have Ash's, you know, he cuts his arm off. There's a whole bunch of stuff there because basically you can watch 2 and then just, you know, continue from there and skip 1 altogether. But I like the grittiness, like kind of like what we talked about earlier, just a little bit more like raw, a little bit more like.
That kind of handmade.
A little scarier.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a little bit creepier.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you have less money, it aesthetically can work in the favor of your movie, which is amazing, which honestly is part of my number one, which I'll get to. So Evil Dead 2, The Beyond, the Lucio Fulci movie. It's tough for me to pick between The Beyond and Zombie, but I think The Beyond just really, really does it for me. It's so hypnotic, so good, and just so completely bonkers.
I still have never seen that.
I'm choking on my liquid death. You got to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see Zombie?
Yeah.
Okay. It is, I think it's better. Zombie is amazing. It was tough for me to pick a favorite.
Mm.
But I don't know. There's something about the Beyond. It's so dreamy and dreamlike and weird and eerie. Mm-hmm. And its energy is otherworldly. It's almost Lovecraftian.
Mm.
Whereas Zombie is a very straight, just zombie movie. Yeah. But it's got those really hazy moments of being kind of otherworldly. But the Beyond is just like, it's almost psychedelic.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely a movie I've heard of, I know, but I have not actually.
You got to see it.
All right. Well, it's on your top five.
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, I got the Blu-ray. We can watch it together at some point.
For sure.
So then Exorcist. I feel like it's on everybody's list.
Mm.
For good reason. I've been showing it to a few people who had never seen it before. And they were like, this is not as scary as I thought it was going to be. And I would just be gobsmacked and go, what? How? It's so terrifying. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if people think it's boring for the first like 45 minutes.
It's a little slow.
Which when you're a kid, yes. But it's a little slow. But when it picks up, man, it fucking picks up.
Well, because there's so much that happens. And there's so much that's in the lead up. They can definitely cut stuff out. But I think it's still really good. It's actually on my list too.
Okay.
And that movie, like what scares the shit out of me is like, I also grew up a Catholic. Like, I'm a Catholic.
Yeah, me too. I grew up Catholic.
So that's a very, like, it's a real world thing. Like, that's what you know. That's your life. Like, you know, right. Understand, like, God and the devil and demons and evil. And that movie was a movie for me that when I saw that probably when I was, like, a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that very young. And that movie, even as a teenager, it took me until I was older, probably like 18, 19, that movie didn't, like, freak me out anymore.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. Like, because that was a movie, because, like, demons and shit, man. Like, I don't want to fuck with that.
I saw it when I was way too young. Well, not way too young. I was, like, just at the right age, I think. I was 13. Prior to that, though, did you ever see Sightings?
No.
So Sightings was a show that was a precursor to The X-Files, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was basically a version of Rescue 911, but with supernatural stuff, or unsolved mysteries, but with supernatural, and people telling their real supernatural experiences that they had. And every episode was a different theme. Mm-hmm. So one theme was ghosts. Another week it would be Bigfoot. Another week it would be Chupacabra. And then the demonic possession episode came. And up until that point, every week I had something new to be afraid of all week.
Oh, shit.
It was, they would play it after The Simpsons on Thursday night.
Really?
And I would watch it. And one week I was afraid of ghosts. The next week I was afraid of alien abductions.
Oh.
When they got to the demonic possession episode, that freaked me out more than anything. Because the idea, I was very young. I think I was like 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Very young.
That's young.
And the idea that, I mean, a ghost you could run away from. Aliens, you don't have a really good shot at running away because they can beam you up with a tractor beam. Yeah. But demonic possession, something that takes over you, was more than my little mind could handle.
Yeah.
So I had a cat, which was a calico, I think. Really temperamental cats. Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were temperamental. It started attacking me after a certain age, like really rough attacks.
Really?
It would just go like, have you ever heard a cat scream at it like top lung capacity where it just goes it's a horrible like sound out of hell. And when you're a kid, it's like even more terrifying. I was convinced my cat had a demon in it. I told my father, I said we should probably bring it to a priest and get it baptized.
Really?
And my dad's Jewish, so he took offense to that, and I didn't understand why at the time, but no, it was kind of funny. But demonic possession, no, as a kid I didn't think there was anything scarier.
Well, it's funny too, because I hear people now that do watch and they say like it's not really that scary. It's a little corny.
It's pretty fucking scary.
And they, I don't know, maybe because I'm still scarred, but I've heard enough about how they don't think the special effects look good now.
What?
They don't carry over.
That's ridiculous.
I still see it, and I'm like, it's pretty fucking good to me.
I think it's really good.
It's really good.
It's Dick Smith.
Yeah.
I don't think it gets much better. Yeah.
Anyway.
So next would be Hellraiser. I think it's just perfection, and it's perfection in a time capsule. Its 80s effects are fantastic. Even the kind of lame pre-CGI lightning effects that they had.
Yeah.
I love it. I love when a movie is time-stamped in a way where it's actually endearing, and it isn't something like the really, really bad CGI, but it actually works. The movie cost $1 million, but it gets away with so much. It works so many different levels. It was $1 million.
Wow.
Which you would think like, oh, that was even more back then. But people didn't have the same sort of camera gear and it was not as easy to make a movie. So like, yeah.
Well, it probably all went to special effects.
I think most of it did. Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. I almost added that to my list.
Really?
Yeah. It almost made the cut and I switched it out with something else.
I was stuck between that and Candyman, to tell you the truth.
I almost had Candyman.
To Clive Barker. My fan theory is that Candyman is a Cenobite.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because when you think about it, they're both from the mind of Clive Barker. Mm-hmm. They all Cenobites used to be real people who got like roped into hell, typically because they had the box, and the box got them into it. There was no box with Candyman. But when you think about it, he kind of works the way a Cenobite works. They have to be summoned, and once you summon him, he's going to kill you. Yeah, and he's deformed, and he's got the hook for the hand. It's screams Cenobite, as far as I can see.
That's pretty badass. I like that. I like that a lot.
And then number one, no surprise here, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's perfect. Even Tarantino says it is a perfect, perfect movie. Even the imperfections about it are what make it so perfect. You can smell that fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's so vomitous. It's so insane. It's just perfect. And the cinematography is great. It's so terrifying. And it was that wonderful time in cinema that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Where there's just a ruthlessness.
And fucking dirty.
Just filthy.
Well, and I think they said, like, Gunnar Hansen, they only had, like, a couple of shirts that he wore. Maybe, like, two or something. Or maybe just one.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. There weren't many. So he was, like, disgusting. Like, he was, like, they all stunk. It was hot. It was the middle of the fucking summer in Texas. Like, that to me is, like, it's crazy. The documentary I watched recently, fun fact, is, like, they had someone that either worked on the set, they had access to an animal like hospital or something where they got all the bones and shit. So they had like, you know, whoever it was, like they went and they were just like in heaven that there were all these bones and all these things that they could use for sets. Like,
oh man,
that's fucking, I think about that in the summer and like the heat and just like, yeah.
Yeah. I heard there was like rotting dead body parts. I might be confusing that with Day of the Dead where, do you ever see the Day of the Dead, the third Romero movie?
Yeah.
There's this like, it was one of the, it's basically the precursor of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. That movie, that's when we saw like, okay, these are really good zombie effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Dawn of the Dead is still wonderful, but the effects are not great. But the third movie, it's like, that's Tom Savini becoming mature, super mature and like really, really good graphic effects where they're pulling guys' intestines out. Those were all animal intestines.
Oh, yeah.
And the set apparently did not have good ventilation, and it didn't have air conditioning because they were shooting in those underground bunkers.
So those
intestines would just basically cook. Or not cook, they would rot. Yeah. And they said that people had to smell them, and it had to be on people. The guy who played Rhodes, when you see him getting pulled apart, and you see his face is just like, ugh, it's because he was smelling all of that, and he just wanted to vomit the whole movie. And everybody said it was so, so insanely disgusting.
I did not know that. That is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I think that's an important movie in cinema history beyond horror. Yeah. Like, I think everybody who calls themselves a movie fan should see that movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Easy Riders of horror in a way.
Yeah.
Just super indie, speaks of a real angst during a specific generation, and it's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they talk about the final girls.
Oh, yeah.
Sally is like, is she not like one of the original?
She was the original. I can't think of anyone else the original except maybe Mina in Dracula. I don't even know if she lives or not. But
I don't know.
I don't remember. Yeah. No, she was the original. It was the original slasher. It was the original everything. It doesn't get enough credit. It gets a lot of credit, but I still think it doesn't get enough credit.
Fuck yeah.
How about you? What do you got?
So my top, my first one, it's very easy. My list is kind of basic too. There's probably a couple, maybe some.
Couple surprises in there? All right.
But Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right.
First one, still I watch. Like the first two, even three, but the first two, Freddy, like he just looks awesome. Like his makeup is like raw, it's gritty. He looks scary. Mm-hmm. And it's also before they started writing in all like the puns and all the jokes and stuff like that. It's terrifying, that first movie. It's really good. That for me, when I watch it now, I'm like, dang, he just looks like just menacing. And it's, you know, he's not smiling. He's not doing all this shit. Like, he's just terrifying.
Yeah. They based his effects makeup on pizza. They were all ordering pizza when they were brainstorming. They're like, his face should look like this pizza. And then when you really look at the face and the way his face is like
pulling,
it's like cheese. Like,
yeah.
He's got like cheese face. Yeah.
But that scene, I mean, the first, is it Tina's death? The fucking ceiling? Like, that's, that still to me is like one of the so fucking scary. Most awesome kills. And young Johnny Depp, like you have all this stuff. It's really cool about it. So that one for me.
Yeah, I think as a franchise, and we'll probably do an episode about franchises. Yeah. But I feel like as a franchise, every entry has some substance.
Oh yeah,
you know every entry is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I can't say that about any other franchise.
That's true. Number two, I'm going to go with Scream.
So all right,
another Wes Craven.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean there was something about it. I remember seeing that movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
And everyone thought like Drew Barrymore because she's on the fucking cover. Like they thought that she was like the main character, and that beginning scene was just terrifying.
Yeah,
you know, and just the whole whodunit, you know, the classic whodunit, and then the ending, the twist at the end, like the two, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? You got the two guys, and it's like that movie still. I watch it now, and it's still good. Like, that's a movie. The fact that they're still making all these other fucking movies. I was listening to something. It was actually the Jamie Kennedy show.
Okay,
and he was talking about how now like that movie is. For this generation, people are going back and watching that movie, and that's like it's. I don't want to say perfect movie, but
it's pretty goddamn good. Fucking
perfect movie, like, yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, I loved it. I remember seeing it. I was not old enough to see an R-rated movie, so I saw it with my parents. My parents took me, and they were still at an age where, like, all right, we have to read the back of the movie before we say you're allowed to watch it or not. So they were still kind of like, I couldn't just watch whatever I wanted. We all saw Scream together, and that scene when Drew Barrymore gets a stab in their fucking clavicle.
Yeah.
As a kid, I was like, this might be more than I can handle.
Yeah. What did your parents think?
They enjoyed it. My mom enjoyed it. I think my dad was kind of indifferent on horror movies, but me and my mom went and saw the next two over the course of the next few years together. It like became our thing because I couldn't get into the movies alone.
It's awesome.
But my mom enjoyed them, and yeah, we would bond over the Scream movies up until Scream 3. Yeah, nice. It was fun. But yeah, it was my first, I think that was my first R-rated horror movie in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah. And I loved it. It was so good. I bought the VHS, my Christmas money.
Hell yeah.
I wish I still had that. That would be worth something. Yeah. It'd be cool to just have here
just
on the
desk.
Just to
have it, yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, Scream will always hold a special place in my heart.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Three is The Exorcist. We don't need to.
All right.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Hereditary.
Oh, nice.
Is my next one. And... that movie, I mean, I'm not going to go into the story. We have a segment. We're going to do that later, right? But that movie for me, I mean, the short version is I saw that in the theaters. I took an edible and I like, my heart was racing the entire time. there's something about when you kill a child off.
Right. Some about it. Tell us about it, Adam.
There's something about when you do that shit, like everything is fair game
mm-hmm.
after that. And the way Charlie dies so early, probably in the first half hour.
Yeah.
The trailer is another one where that one is very misleading in the sense of it. You think that movie's about Charlie.
Mm-hmm. She's on the poster.
Yep. And I thought that she is a little girl who gets possessed. Like that's what I thought the movie was about.
Okay.
Completely opposite. Like when you do what they did to her and the way they did it.
Yeah.
At that point, it's fair game. It's like, what's next? And throughout that movie, you're questioning like what's real, what's not. Like the dream sequences, mm-hmm. all the, like I tell people that movie is not even a horror movie. That movie is a family drama.
Yeah.
Like a fucking intense, like there's something about that because we've all dealt with some, you know, I don't want to say necessarily trauma because not everyone has trauma, but like we've all dealt with shit. We all have mm-hmm. like family things. And that movie just really stuck with me because you feel so bad for Toni Collette.
Yeah.
Like you empathize with her, like everything between her, she talks about her brother, how her brother, you know, killed himself.
Yeah.
Because her mother was trying to put something in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same shit that keeps happening. She was doing it to Charlie, like all these things. Then Charlie gets, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a really like tough movie. And I walked out of that movie, like shook, like really that movie still to this day is one of the like movies I will never forget ever watching in the movie theater.
It might be the best of the past, like 10 years, definitely
100%. But in my,
I think it's one of the best new ones and it gets better with every viewing.
Yeah. It doesn't get old. And Toni Collette's all the acting is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes that movie too. Is like, you know, like bad acting can really ruin a movie. You can enjoy a movie, you know, with some bad acting, but like when everyone is good in a movie like that, that's so intense and scarier.
Yeah. Did you believe everything? Gabriel Byrne? I mean, for a feature debut, he arrived really, really strong. Yeah,
that's
it's his best movie. Yeah, I liked Midsommar a lot, but that was, I thought that movie's, it's going to be really hard to top.
Yeah.
Sonically, it's so unsettling too. Mm-hmm. Like the music and the sound design is really unsettling. Oh,
the
sound.
There's a whole, I read a whole article about that. And like the soundtrack alone, it's just, it's the sound. There's this eerie like pulse that's kind of throughout the movie. It's just like, it's so well done because, and we can have a whole fucking episode on sound.
Yeah.
Sound alone is like.
Smile had great sound design too. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there on Hereditary.
My last one, I'm going to put Martyrs.
Oh, fuck, really?
Fucking love Martyrs.
Whoa, okay.
Because
how many times have you seen Martyrs?
I put it on the other day, probably, so now we're talking like...
You just fucking put it on and do laundry just casually?
Yeah, put that shit on the background, bro. That shit's like...
I've only been able to watch it once, but...
Dude, that movie, that feeling that Hereditary gave me afterwards, Martyrs gave me for like... at least another week. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, like, we watched that movie. And it was a movie that, like, I didn't know anything about. And this was only a couple years ago. Like, that's how important this movie is for me. Like, this movie was, because it completely blew my mind out of the water. My mind is, like, I'm always, like, think. Like, my mind's always fucking turning.
Yep.
And that movie about life and just, like, the philosophy. Like, and it's not, like, a torture porn movie. Like, it's just,
no, it's not.
It's fucked up shit that goes on. But it's not for the sake of just doing it.
No.
Nope. The whole premise is torture, like for the reason of the fucking transcendence.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending, like, just leaves you floored, like, just ooh. Not knowing what it was that she saw.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it. We were like, well, it could have been this.
Are we going spoilers here? I guess so.
If we really want to dive in, I didn't want to take too much, you know,
too much
of the time, but like,
we'll do mild spoiler alert to tell the listeners.
Well, she tells her what she sees at the end. You know, so there's a couple different ways. And for me, it's like, okay, so either it was so good that she wanted to kill herself at the end, the madam, whatever her name is, so good that she wants to kill herself at the end to go do it. Or it's so terrible. Well, I guess if it's terrible and she wouldn't want to kill herself, or there's just nothing.
Right.
Right.
Like, or she tells her, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Or that too. I don't think that would be the response. I think she would just keep doing it. She would keep she killed herself because what she told her, there was a reason.
Like, it was something conclusive, for sure.
Or she could have lied to her.
She could have lied to her.
That's the other thing we talked about. But this was a movie that we just, like, it was on my mind. Like life and death, like, that shit passes my mind all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always, like, life is, you know, like, we're really lucky to be here.
Yeah.
Right? This is really,
oh, my God.
So when you think about that and just, like, what is after this? What did you see? Like, that movie, it just fucked me up. Like, on top of, like, how just raw it is, like, how fucking... like,
yeah,
violent it is, and just the what they did, like,
tore me apart. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw it, people talked about how graphic it was and how upsetting it was and how it'll just tear your heart out. And I remember watching it, and there's that opening sequence when the young girl goes in to that house with a shotgun, and that scene is rough.
And then because you don't expect it.
You don't expect it.
They have like a nice family thing. You think the movie's about the nice fam, like,
nope.
Fucking doorbell rings and like,
yeah,
it's on.
Yeah. And it goes so hard. It goes for your throat. And the violence is so violent. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting through the movie and I'm seeing like, oh, I only got like a minute left. Everybody said this was so intense and so upsetting. Like, all right. Yeah, this was intense and upsetting, but it wasn't so bad. And then, oh my God.
Yeah.
Then when that last minute hits, I won't ruin that for the audiences, but when that last minute of the movie, or the last 2 minutes, when that happens, you're just floored. I was floored. My jaw was on the floor.
Yeah.
That movie hurt. The movie hurt so badly. Yeah. And it was beautifully, exquisitely tragic and fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was a poetry to it. You know, it wasn't torture porn. Like, the way that it was, it came from such a real place. Pascal Longuier, the director, apparently was very depressed, very suicidal when he made that.
I read all this shit after.
Yeah. You needed to know where that came from. They were going to give him Hellraiser.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were going to give him Hellraiser. It was
like the new one?
The last one, yeah. Well, it would probably have been a different incarnation of it, but they were talking about he was supposed to potentially do the next Hellraiser.
Oh, shit.
Did you imagine what he would have done with Hellraiser?
Hell yeah.
It would have been insane.
Give him that money.
But that was that movie didn't shy away from anything. Like most horror movies, it goes to a certain mm-hmm. point and then it kind of shies away. This movie was so relentless.
Yeah.
But again, it had a beauty to it. Mm-hmm. It's violence and it's tragedy. There was a real poetry to it for me. So I'll never forget that movie. I've not been able to watch it again though, because it's hard to find the occasion. I didn't feel right for like a week,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that feeling. That's like, what do we look for?
You know? Exactly.
And that movie did it. And even just to go back really quick, like in the beginning, they kind of throw you off because you think that she's seeing like a demon thing. Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
From
the trauma and her and the girl, she's like, she thinks that there's something, remember, like telling her to like kill these things. Like, cause as she experiences that trauma as a child.
Yeah.
And as she goes to the orphanage or whatever. And she sees like, there's like a monster. There's like a woman, like mm-hmm. a thing. So you think it's also about that. And
right.
It's just like all these different things. Like it's just such a, yeah, that's my list. Cause those last two ones, Hereditary and Martyrs, I saw like maybe 2 years ago. And that movie still is like,
yeah, it just burned, just like, yeah. burned in your mind. Yeah, it's so good. It's so, so good. I need to see it again. It's impossible to find it on Blu-ray, but that's fine.
They did a remake too, a US one, which I haven't watched.
Blumhouse did it. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Oh, is it Blumhouse?
It's Blumhouse.
Too? I have no interest.
I heard it really just doesn't really go for the jugular the way the original does. Mm-hmm. I heard it's worth watching though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I might give it a shot.
I have it on my list. It's on Tubi.
I'll check it out.
Both versions.
Fuck it. You've been telling me all about Tubi, man. Tubi's like free Shudder, basically. Yeah. All right, should we talk about the news?
Let's do the news.
All right, let's get into the howl. So, news on the Beetlejuice front. I've been following all of the recent developments with Beetlejuice, as we were talking about. Beetlejuice was a huge part of my childhood. I felt when I was 4 years old, and when I first saw it, I felt like my soul was shown to me. This is how much I love this movie. It might be my most beloved movie of all time. Maybe. It might be my number one. It might be my favorite movie. I know we just did our favorite movies, but like that might be just number one favorite movie of all time. Now that I really think of it, I realize like, yeah, that movie's my everything. So I've been really nervous since they announced the sequel, thinking it's going to kind of get the Disney treatment and it's just going to be so much CGI and they're going to completely lose track of the original soul of the movie. And it's just going to be this big preposterous cash grab. However, I heard recent news that made me think maybe that's not going to be the case. And that is that Beetlejuice is mostly going to be driven by practical effects, which is awesome.
Like news. That.
Yeah. So not a lot of CGI, hopefully. Michael Keaton was talking about how he was speaking with Tim Burton years ago, and they both agreed the only way they would ever do this movie is if it was mostly handmade, and it had the original handmade feel of the effects of the previous movie, handmade sets, so not like big, elaborate, stupid CGI sets, but they really want that practical feel, which to me was a great source of comfort. Because, again, I've been nervous about what they were going to do with this movie, because it's such a beloved IP. For me. But in addition to that, Michael Keaton also said when he was talking about the movie, which wrapped fairly recently. I think it wrapped this month.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize
it wrapped.
It wrapped. It's coming out soon, bro.
Oh, it's September.
Coming out September. Yeah. But he said, it is the most exciting thing, the most fun I've had on set in a long time.
That's awesome.
So for Michael Keaton to say that, it's got to be something special. Will it eclipse the original? I don't think anything's capable of that.
Yeah.
Okay. But I feel like the movie it's definitely in the right hands with Tim Burton, but it sounds like they're heading in the right direction. So that was a great comfort.
I feel like he wouldn't have done it otherwise.
No,
like
probably not.
Either with their script or whatever it was, like bringing the cast back, I think was really important to this.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So why don't we run through some quick hits here? So Conjuring 4 is coming, and it'll be the last chapter of the main series. Michael Chavez, who directed The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, which I quite enjoyed.
Same.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. Yes.
Surprisingly good. Yeah. The first two Conjuring movies I think are awesome. Mm-hmm. I like both of them.
Yeah.
Third one, very, very solid third act. And I like The Conjuring movies way more than I like any of the other movies in The Conjuring universe.
Yep.
Although I did like the Annabelle movies. The Nun movies, I didn't know what to do with.
Not a fan.
Yeah. But the original Conjuring, I mean, I'm kind of sad that it's only going to be four. I feel like I could have done a whole other six.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Quit while you're
ahead. Yeah. It's the jump scares for me. It's the like reliance on that. And I feel like that's a lot of those.
Yeah, I love the mythology between Ed and Lorraine, though. That's a wealth of stuff. Yes. What they could do, which I think they should do, and I hope they do. They do an Ed and Lorraine when they were younger series on Netflix or something.
Oh, that could be cool.
And then every episode, it's like a different case. Or every season, there's a big really major cool. case. Super cool. There's just so much from their lives. I know they're controversial figures. I don't know all of those details. I just like these movies, and I like them as characters mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, they're
but,
fun.
But yeah. Yeah, so this should be interesting, hopefully. We're also getting a new Predator movie, Badlands, coming from 20th Century Studios, and it's under Dan Trachtenberg, who directed Prey. How'd you feel about Prey?
I liked it. I thought it was fine. There were a little, I wish we were having this conversation when it was fresh in my mind. There were things that I remember I didn't like about it that kind of ruined it for me.
Hmm.
But overall, I think I enjoyed it. But yeah. Yeah, there were little things I remember that kind of really took me out of it.
To me, it was the concept of this is how you do a horror requel, whatever we're calling it, is you put it in a completely different context as mm-hmm. the original movies, which is a different time period.
Yeah,
it's like doing a Hellraiser that takes place in Victorian England.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. It would be fucking awesome. Yeah. So they tried to do that sort of with Hellraiser 4. You know, it was not all that effective. There was the one with Cenobites in space. I think it was Bloodline. There was one that had like four different stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little silly, but it was fun. And it was ambitious. It's worth seeing.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while. I do remember like watching it.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. But I think that's how you do a requel. You're just completely and totally different. American Horror Story is coming back. American Horror Story Delicate is coming back for part two. I did not watch that one. I'm kind of curious. I heard it's pretty good.
What was Delicate?
Delicate was with...
Is it like just a regular series? Not
it's
like
a regular series, okay. But they're doing two parts of it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's about pregnancy and all the complications that come along with it. And I haven't watched it, but I heard American Horror Story is getting good again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although it's the past few seasons, it kind of hit a lull after Coven for me. Mm-hmm. And then it started picking back up after a while. And I fell off. I fell off with it.
I kind of did too. They were a little sporadic for me. They kind of lost me in Roanoke.
Yeah, I wanted to like Roanoke.
I did too.
I like the ideas. I love Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
I love Kathy Bates too.
But I liked, was it Hotel? The vampire one?
Yeah, it was Hotel Lady Gaga.
I really liked that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I think that was the last one I actually watched. I watched the...
I think it was the last one I watched in its entirety also.
Yeah. And then they did American Horror Stories, right?
Yeah, I saw those. Yeah. Those were great.
The first season.
I didn't see the other ones.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the first three seasons of that show were perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two I loved.
Two is really good. I think might be my favorite.
Yeah.
I think that's perfection. Same. I really like Coven too. I loved those characters.
Yeah.
What else? So there's going to be TV adaptations of Rear Window and The Game coming from Kevin Williamson, screenwriter behind Scream, and I know what you did last summer, so that should be interesting. Do you ever see the original Rear Window, the Hitchcock movie with Jimmy Stewart? It's good. Really good. Yeah. Yeah. We're getting a new Evil Dead movie from Sebastian Vanacek. I'm sorry if I'm not saying that right. He did Infested, which I have not seen. And this is going to be the follow-up to Evil Dead Rise. Plot details are under wraps, but Vanacek promises a nasty film that will be a cathartic horror experience. Mm. Just keep piling on these Evil Dead movies.
I'm all for it.
They're good. I'm really glad we don't have to wait another, 10 years between the last, between the Fede Alvarez one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Sebastian Vanacek, he didn't do Rise, right?
No, he didn't. No, that was Lee Cronin.
Oh, yeah, I know that name.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious to see what they do. I'm all for it. I love the Evil Deads. I like that. Like I love the remake. I almost put the remake on my top because I like that movie better than the originals. Dare I say?
Really?
I just like how violent and gory it is. I like that there's no comedy. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a huge like I don't know. I love comedy horror, but like,
it's hard to do.
Yeah. And if it's too silly, it kind of takes me out of it versus like, all right, just give me a raw fucking... That's why I really liked Evil Dead Rise.
It had the insanity, Evil Dead Rise and the Evil Dead before that one. It had the insanity of the original movies without any of the comedy, which I thought was the genius move. And it wasn't like a straight remake. There's no Ash.
Yep.
You know, it's just a whole reimagining. Again, that's how you do a remake.
Yeah.
Basically. All about that. Although, if you watch past the credits in two Evil Deads ago, the Fede Alvarez one. Mm-hmm. After the credits, there's a little surprise. Do you want me to ruin it for you? It's actually, it's not
I don't remember.
Ash shows up. You see Ash.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's in the cabin or something. You just see him with a gun. It goes, groovy.
I don't think I remember seeing that at all.
Yeah.
That's so, you know, it's so funny too, talking about like extra credits or end scenes. I've seen Constantine, like, I saw Constantine in the movies.
Oh, I still need to see that. I've not seen Constantine.
It's solid. It's a good movie. I like it.
I love Keanu.
Yeah. But I watched on Tubi, watched it the other day, and, you know, I was talking to my wife, and then, like, the movie just rolled, and, like, the credits were on, and then all of a sudden, there's a fucking end credit scene. I was like, what? I've never seen this scene in 20, like, years. Wow. I've seen this movie so many times.
Yeah.
And I guess that was before, like, doing that was, like, a thing. Like, everyone has to do it now.
Marvel does it a lot.
Yeah.
That is Marvel, technically.
Yeah. But I didn't know.
It's brief.
That
it's Bruce Campbell, though.
Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. It's worth seeing, for sure. Cool. Yeah, they're doing a Constantine show, I think.
Really?
I heard they're doing a show, and I heard Keanu is in.
But really?
They've been talking about it for a while. It's the kind of thing that, like, we keep hearing about, may or may not happen. I'm hoping it happens. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Is that movie still good? Does it hold up? Is it dated?
No, I don't think so.
Does not hold up?
No, it's not dated.
Oh, it's not dated?
Yeah.
No, is it Blade level good?
I guess it depends. I think it's really good. I think it's, for me, seeing, like, hell and seeing him go into hell. Like, there's just something about that. And just the way it's done, it's really cool. And he's badass.
Fucking Keanu.
And Shia LaBeouf is in it.
What?
He's mad young, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. All right. I'm going to check that out again, for sure. Nice. What else? Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan, they have a vampire movie coming out that just secured a deal with Warner Brothers. No details, but the two of them, the two of them are known for their collaboration on Creed. So this should be interesting. I'm wondering what they're going to do
here. Has Ryan Coogler done it? I've never heard his name before today.
I think he directed Creed.
But aside from that, like anything else, that's...
Let's take a look. Ryan Coogler. Yeah, he has directed. Oh, he did Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they should give him Blade.
Oh, hell yeah.
They should give him Blade. Yeah.
All right. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I love Michael B. Jordan, by the way. That guy, he's so fucking cool.
He had to throw a B in there for sure, yeah. Because it would not, that would have been
You
weird.
Can't just be.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever see, what's it called? Where he has like the special powers.
I don't think so.
Oh man, we'll talk about it after this, but it's a movie where he's younger. It's basically him and his friends. They basically go into like a cave or cavern or something. And there's like these crystals. It's like a sci-fi kind of like,
okay.
It's more sci-fi movie. And they get these like powers and these abilities. They basically become like evil, like superheroes. Like they start using one of them starts using their powers.
This feels so familiar.
For bad. It's like telekinesis stuff. Like they start flying and shit. I forget what it's called, but that's a really good movie. And it's young Michael B. Jordan.
That doesn't look like him.
Just put in like super, not super, because you're going to get Fantastic Four.
Kid movie.
Or sci-fi.
Raising Dion?
Chronicle.
Oh, Chronicle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah.
I never saw that.
It's only from 2012. I thought that movie was way... Yeah. But super cool movie. He's great in that. Yeah.
Sweet.
He's the fucking man.
Saw 11 was announced. Hey, man, keep piling the Saw movies on. I enjoy them. I know everybody grumble. A lot of people grumble at them, but they're fun. And the last one was the best one since the first one.
Yes.
So good.
Agreed. And do you know why? And why everyone loved it?
Because they took it seriously? They gave it real plot, real story? There's real emotion behind it?
Because it was all about John Kramer.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, it's the most you get to see him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There's no other movie where it's like that. So you get to really like get his story.
Yeah.
He's on screen the entire time. Like they humanize him. They make him more, you know, you already know his premise, right? But like...
Yeah.
To really see what he went through. So I don't know what this one's going to be about, but I hope there's more.
They were very thorough in approaching the last one, and they did a focus group with a bunch of Saw fans, with like thousands of Saw fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a reason there were 9 movies prior. These movies make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They do really well. People come out and see them. And they did this big, elaborate focus group, like it may have been international. I don't remember. I talked about it a couple of howls ago, but they did a major focus group, and they basically polled what people like about the Saw movies. Is it the gore? Is it this? And they found a lot of people really liked Jigsaw and really enjoyed that Jigsaw character and kind of didn't like that they didn't get to see him much more.
Yeah.
They couldn't bring him back, obviously. Mm-hmm. But
well, they killed him early. I think they killed him in 4, was it?
I think so. Yeah.
So it's super
and then
early.
Amanda took over.
Yeah.
And then Spiral, that was not technically Saw, but it was Saw. Mm-hmm. But
Spiral
was
cool.
From the book of Saw.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
But no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think like it's a good reason to bring him back. Like,
yep.
I forgot what's the guy's name? The other cop, like who comes in at the end of Saw. I heard that he's supposed to be, I think that it continues maybe from there.
Oh, really?
Or he has a bigger part. I could just be talking shit.
They could do like a John Kramer origin story.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. That would be super cool.
Yeah, like what happens after this?
But
like
if it's not Tobin Bell, people are not going to like it.
No, it has to be him.
It's got
to
be Tobin Bell.
Have you seen... Oh, man, I wish this was for my post of the week. But have you seen the meme of Tobin Bell?
Yes.
And it's fucking... Yeah. When he's running in his bathing suit. It's like
someone's not enjoying their life. Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's fucking... Whoever did that, it was hilarious.
Genius.
Shout out. I wish that was me.
Yeah. I love those movies, though. Yeah, I haven't seen all of them, but every time I watch them, they're fun, they're enjoyable, and I squeam. Is that a word, squeam? I squirm.
Squirm.
I squirm. Thank you.
Well, you can say squeamish.
I guess, yeah.
But you don't I don't squeam. Think you squeam.
No, I squirmed though. Yeah.
I actually, before Saw X, I hadn't seen all of them. I think I saw up to 4 back in the day.
Okay.
And I just binged like all of them before that.
I have the box set of all of them.
Like, they're fine. They're so just fun. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're enjoyable. They are what they are. And you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams has got a movie called Night Bitch coming out. Based on Rachel Yoder's novel, follows a mother experiencing bizarre changes, possibly turning into a canine. Kind of sounds like the end of The Howling. Directed by Mariel Heller, who did A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. So this is going to be a turn. So that should be interesting. Lee Daniels has an exorcism movie coming out called The Deliverance with Andra Day and Glenn Close. That's probably going to be pretty rocking.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn Close too? I don't know. Who's Andra Day?
I don't know.
Andra?
Don't know.
And Lee Daniels.
And Lee Daniels.
Who's that?
He did The Butler. That was a huge movie. He was nominated for a bunch of Oscars. He did a few other things.
That sounds familiar.
He did Precious too.
Oh.
And he did Empire.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I always think, it sounds sacrilegious to say this, but it's absolutely true when you think about it. Some of the best horror movies are directed by non-horror directors.
Yep.
Spielberg and Jaws. Kubrick and The Shining, Friedkin and The Exorcist. I mean, the list goes on and on.
For it.
Yeah. And obviously, you have like Wes Craven and John Carpenter, who for the most part, the majority of what they do are horror, and they're incredible too. I'm not saying it's exclusive, but I think someone like Lee Daniels is going to take something like an exorcism movie very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. And this should be really interesting. So I am looking forward to that. Tim Burton is directing another remake of Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. So, yeah, let's see what happens there. Written by Gillian Flynn, who wrote the Gone Girl book. Mm-hmm. So these movies were kind of these goofy B movies. I don't know if you saw the Daryl Hannah one or the original one, but it sounds like they might actually take this seriously.
Yeah.
If Gillian Flynn is doing it. So should be interesting.
Well, I'm on board. Tim Burton's the one who gets me, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing more of a return to form. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any Wednesday?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
First season. It was
kind of a kid show.
I wanted to like it.
I want to like it more.
And I liked it for what it was. I liked the music a lot, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Music was great. But it felt like I was watching Harry Potter. It was very Hogwarts-y.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fine. There were things I didn't like about it, but it was okay. It wasn't like, oh, shit,
Did you watch Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
I didn't. I wanted to.
Surprisingly good.
I heard it's
awesome. I would put it on and like multitask. I was like, God damn, I'm going to pay full attention to this.
I wanted to watch that because I heard the comics are fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like very violent, very like there's so
much.
This
movie goes there. It gets into evil and it gets into really difficult decisions and it's not a kid's show.
Yeah.
It's not a kid's show at all.
For sure. Well, that's
like a young adult, but you got to be a mature young adult.
Right. And that's what I heard too, where it's like a lot of the comics are very like it's dark. It's very, very dark. Same thing with like Riverdale, which I haven't seen any of those either, but I've heard the same thing of the same premise of like all the the same, like the Archie characters and all. And I think that they kind of, they're in the same world.
Yeah, it's all the same world. Right? Yeah. 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 It all takes place in the same universe. I don't know if they're ever going to do a crossover or not, but what next? Caleb Landry Jones cast as Dracula, an upcoming movie from Luc Besson. So that should be interesting. Luc Besson, who did The Fifth Element, among many other movies, including Andre the Professional. I don't know who Caleb Landry Jones is. That guy.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that guy before.
He was in Get Out. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's in...
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he's the guy from Get Out.
He is also in The Dead Don't Die, the one with Adam Driver and Bill Murray. And
yep, that zombie movie.
He's one of those guys that, like, I never saw him before Get Out, and there's been a few movies since then.
And you're like, oh, right, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he was Macaulay Culkin at first, to be honest, when I saw that movie. I was like, is that... Like, it took me a while to like really like look at him, and I was like, that's not him. You know,
yeah, it does kind of look like him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid is playing a real-life serial killer in a Paramount Plus series called Happy Face. The show is inspired by a true story and podcast of the same name, which will delve into the complex dynamics between a serial killer and his daughter. That sounds good and fucked up.
I love Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen him in anything in a really long time.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. This should be good.
Major League?
Netflix has acquired a serial killer thriller called Apex from the writer of The Purge, Jeremy Robbins. This script is being described as a mix between Free Solo and The Silence of the Lambs, following a story of a young woman battling against a human predator in a remote wilderness. That sounds pretty awesome. There's going to be a Bewitched series reboot in the works from the writer of The Boys. So that should be fun.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Boys, but I've heard a lot of good things about
I've seen not as much as I would like. I want to see more. What I've seen, I've enjoyed.
You
it's
like,
fun. Yeah? It's like it's kind of Deadpool-ish. It's like a really rugged, kind of rough and tumble. It gets really bloody. It's fun. It's definitely fun.
I heard.
I haven't gotten around to watch much more of it, but
I enjoy The Boys. I feel about a Bewitched series, a reboot.
I don't know. Were you a fan of the original?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad used to watch that shit, so it's like,
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah.
So
it should be interesting.
Very curious to see what they can do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be interesting, especially with The Boys behind it. That means it'll probably be
a
lot of foul-mouthed humor and all of that. It should be darker, too. Mm. Yeah, because The Boys is very bloody. Very bloody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bret Easton Ellis, the writer of American Psycho, is directing a monster movie called Relapse, starring Joseph Quinn. The story revolves around a young man's struggle with addiction and a monstrous presence that has haunted him since his teenage years. I don't think he's ever directed anything. Bret Easton Ellis. Did you read American Psycho?
No.
I haven't either. I heard it's horrific.
Yeah.
I was in the bookstore just for fun. I opened on one page and I started reading. I was like, good God.
Nice.
You think it's going to be fucked, but it is way more fucked up than you could imagine. Yeah. Oh, nice. It gets ugly. Like it's really, really ugly. So yeah, more and more horror is getting bigger and bigger. It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's like,
we need
it. It's pretty incredible. We totally need it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally need it. We have a whole episode as to why we need it. Ewan McGregor and Anne Hathaway are joining the new David Robert Mitchell movie, the director of It Follows. This is apparently an IMAX project, and it remains shrouded in mystery, with production expected to start later this year. It's also produced by Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' company, and Warner Brothers, and it promises a unique cinematic experience. Did you see his follow-up to It Follows, Under the Silver Lake?
Mm-mm.
Awesome.
Really?
So good.
Never even heard of
it. It didn't do very well, which I don't understand. It's a masterpiece. Mm. It's not horror, necessarily. It's just kind of like this big, epic, Lynchian, sort of David Lynch-style movie. Yeah. But it is so beautifully done. Mm. He's a fantastic filmmaker.
Okay.
They're apparently doing an It Follows sequel also. But whatever should be interesting.
Yeah.
Should definitely be interesting.
I'm in.
The Lodge filmmakers have a new movie coming out called The Devil's Bath, which was acquired by Shudder. Set in 1750 Austria, the film delves into the dark mind of a religious woman plagued by evil thoughts.
Did you see The Lodge?
Yeah, love The Lodge.
Fuck yeah. That was great. That was another movie that, after Hereditary, not that it gave me the same feeling, but was like, I don't even want to say close, but enough where I was like,
you don't
that
feel
movie
good.
Is fucked up.
It gets under your skin.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that.
Yeah. And those kids, man.
Yeah.
It was fucked up.
It was so sad. It was so sad. Yeah. Jurassic World found its director with Gareth Edwards. It's awesome. I remember when Gareth Edwards' first movie, Monsters, came out. I remember being young, really young, and seeing that, being really inspired. Like, that guy took very little money, shot this movie around the world. It was really difficult. I wasn't around the world. I think it was somewhere in South America. And now he's directing these big epic movies. It's super inspiring. That's like cool. If you see Monsters, it's a very humble production, but he had a CGI partner that made these awesome looking kind of kaiju creatures. Mm-hmm. They're really subtle, but he came from doing these very small, humble movies, then obviously went on to do Rogue One. And yeah, and now he's getting his helming Jurassic Park. So good for him. I'm happy to see that.
Yeah.
And Chris Nolan said that he would like to make a horror movie. And I would be first in line.
Give him the keys.
Please give him the keys.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, he specifically said, I think horror films are very interesting because they depend on very cinematic devices. It's really about a visceral response to things. And so at some point, I'd love to make a horror movie. But I think a really good horror film requires a really exceptional idea. And those are few and far between. Mm-hmm. So I haven't found a story that lends itself to that. But I think it's a very interesting genre from a cinematic point of view. It's also one of the few genres where the studios make a lot of these films, and they are films that have a lot of bleakness, a lot of abstraction, a lot of the qualities that Hollywood is generally very resistant to putting in films. And that's a genre where it's allowable. I'd like to see what he would do, because Dark Knight is pretty dark.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, and he even described Oppenheimer as being a horror movie, which when you think about it,
kind of is. Yeah.
There's one moment, my one disappointment with Oppenheimer, which I loved, is there's a few sequences where you see the effects of nuclear radiation on people. Mm-hmm. Those should have been way more devastating, more graphic. It should have been a fucking frame where you see the actual effects, where it basically melts your cells. You see it for such a quick glimpse, and it's so horrifying.
Yeah, I remember.
And you want to see more, like, Jesus, I didn't really quite see that. It didn't quite deal with that. The effects actually were pretty poor when they show the effects of nuclear energy on people. Yeah, I thought that was a real missed opportunity. But I would love to see anything that Nolan would do with horror. That's a good rewatch. Such a good rewatch.
It's so good.
Yeah.
We don't have to speak about Heath Ledger.
Man. Yeah. Oh, man. Shit. That still hurts.
I remember that. Oh, man, it was terrible.
Yeah. Now, Barry Keoghan apparently might be the next Joker because he shows up in the last Batman.
Oh, that's right. He's in the prison, right?
Yeah, you see him for a split second. He's very creepy looking. I think he would be an awesome Joker.
Wait.
Yeah, that's the guy who is
the main guy?
The main guy in Saltburn.
Barry Keoghan is him.
That's him. Same dude.
He's someone, I saw him something else recently where he was a little bit younger. I had never seen him before Saltburn, but now, what was he in before?
You see Killing of a Sacred Deer?
No.
Oh, you got to see that. That's awesome.
Oh, man. There's a whole list you got to give me.
I know.
There's so many movies.
I know.
I'm ashamed.
So little time. I need to like have a better practice of watching like 3 movies at once because it's hard. I have a buddy who watches like a movie every single day, and I'm so impressed with him. David Guglielmo, if you're listening, very impressed by your cinema diet. And but yeah, he's always posting about these great movies, these like obscure little gems. I'm like, dude, how do you find all these? He's like, I just watch a movie a day, and it really adds up over the course of a year, which makes sense.
Eventually, you start finding like these gems. But that's awesome because what's his name from Saltburn? That's in
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah, because I remember watching those clips, and it's like, oh, you just get to see him for that little bit, and yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're coming up on 27.
Yeah, let's reset. Let's make sure it's still even.
Sweet.
Oh, wait. Oh.
I think we're done. What's wrong?
I was going to say, I feel like you should close the howl with like, and that kind of wraps up with, you know, but.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. It's a good call. Because that is basically everything. All right. And that wraps us up with the howl for the past month. All right. Should we talk about what we've seen lately? All right. I'll kick us off. I just saw Stop Motion recently, which was really, really good. I saw it in theaters. It's a fairly small movie from IFC Midnight. I think it's one of the last IFC Midnight movies because they're basically becoming Shudder. They're like doing away with IFC Midnight and becoming Shudder. But yeah, this movie was great. Very small production, but it maximized on everything that it had access to. It was all about a stop motion animator. Or more accurately, a stop motion animator's daughter who is helping her mom make a stop motion movie. Then her mom gets sick and then she starts continuing the movie, but weird things start happening and it uses all this cool stop motion stuff. And then the ending goes completely and totally bonkers, insane, but it's really well done. Really awesome. Beautifully, beautifully done. Yeah. I'd love to interview the director on the show. But yeah, this was a great movie. Highly recommend it.
I had seen the name come up a couple times, but I had no idea what it was about. I didn't even know like
Yeah.
Literally anything. So that's, it's cool. That's really exciting.
It really gets into the craft of stop motion animation and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Cause that shit's awesome.
Yeah. It's really, oh, it's fascinating. Yeah. It's great movie. Really great movie. They did so much with a fairly low budget and really maximized production value. And just, it feels like a very personal story too. Mm. So highly recommend that.
Cool.
What have you seen?
I binged, Wishmasters 1 through 3.
All right.
Which I never saw as a kid, but I don't know. It's just one of those movies that like I see every once in a while, just comes up in the feed. People seem to love it. A lot of fun. The first one's good. Second one's okay. Third one's where it's like really gets bad, but, really enjoyed the first one.
Okay.
Robert Englund is in it. Sam Raimi's in it.
Oh, wow.
Who else? There's some other people too, but like, you can tell they had a lot of fun. Makeup's great. The lore is great because it's all about the djinns, the like genies.
Oh, basically. So that's cool.
What he is.
Yeah, so, it's Clive Barker, right?
Good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But it's awesome because it's like, you know, there's lore. Like we know genies as like think of like Aladdin, but like the lore for genies is like a lot darker. They're like scarier. Like you know, so it's really cool what like he.
All right, it says the film is rather Clive Barker-esque, but it was penned by Peter Atkins, the screenwriter of the first three Hellraiser sequels.
So, okay.
That makes sense. Who directed Wishmaster? Was that...
I have no idea.
Wes Craven?
I have no idea.
Now I'm really curious. Oh, Kurtzman. It's Robert Kurtzman.
Oh, he's the fucking... He's the K in K&B.
Oh. Yeah, he's the K in K&B.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know
the makeup's great.
That long.
The special effects are really good in that. Well, and then there's like CGI that's really bad, and that's a movie that doesn't hold up really well for the time. Yeah,
but it's worth watching.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nice.
They cool. all follow a similar format, and like by the third one, I was like, okay, I think there's more. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think there's a few more. All right, I gotta check that out. I'd never seen it before. All right, so I got into Night Country, which is awesome. It is the most popular season of True Detective ever. It eclipsed the first one. Issa Lopez, who directed Tigers Are Not Afraid, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. If anybody hasn't seen that, have to see that. It's awesome. Beautiful, devastating movie about a bunch of young homeless children in Mexico. And it's devastating, but it's got a horror twist to it. Beautifully done. And I definitely put Issa Lopez on the map for good reason. Hmm. So I loved this season so far. I'm like 3 episodes deep. I think it's really good. It's really gritty. It's intriguing. It just definitely does feel like a horror story.
Yeah, there's like a supernatural kind of element to it.
It's I haven't dark, seen like it I, yet, but I keep hearing that it does have supernatural
elements. I think I ended on episode 3, but it's feeling that way. Like there's like weird shit going on. It's not just like a, you know.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people took issue with that, thinking that True Detective should be like a more grounded show, but they had to do something new with it.
Yeah, and that's okay. I haven't seen the other ones. I watched the first...
Oh, you never saw the McConaughey, Woody Harrelson one?
I started to, and I never continued. I never finished. Not anything to do with them, just never continued.
It's not such a cliffhanger show where it's like, oh, one more episode at 4 a.m., but it's really good. It's a very just fine filmmaking.
Yeah
you got to see that. But I'm loving the show. It's getting a lot of hate online. I haven't been paying any attention to it, so I don't know what issues people have with it, but I think it's really good. Jodie Foster is just a badass, and the movie nods to The Thing a lot.
Oh yeah,
and Silence of the Lambs. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where you see The Thing VHS on the shelf.
I noticed that. Yeah. I saw that somewhere. Oh, ah.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? What else are people saying that they don't?
I don't know.
Like if it's,
I haven't been paying attention to it. I try to pay, like not pay attention to that sort of bullshit. But
I don't let that stuff like sway me.
I think it was partially because of the supernatural thing. I don't know what else the problem is. Yeah. I mean, I can look it up. Let's see. Why do people hate Night Country? Is one of the worst mystery shows. Reddit True Detective.
Is it also because it's still like they still release new episodes, right? Or is it done?
I think it's done.
Okay.
Night Country's backlash forgets the show's biggest problems. It's gotten significant backlash since the debut. Its harshest criticisms forget the show's... What's the show's biggest problem? All right, I got to read this fucking clickbait shit. You know what? All right. I am going to copy and paste this and go to my friend ChatGPT and tell... ask it to summarize, so I don't have to read this whole SEO article with six paragraphs about True Detective.
Yeah, and the first four are going to be like fluff.
All right, let's see. Read this and say yes. Come on, paste. Whoops. What just happened here? Read this and say yes. What is happening? All right, ChatGPT's failing on me. Maybe it just can't take all this text right now. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
We don't need to know what they say.
No, we don't. Fuck them. I'm enjoying it. That's what matters.
I'd rather you're not know, it, too, because there might be some spoilers.
Yeah, there could be spoilers in there. But yeah, I don't know. If it's so beautifully shot. The sequences look amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So I don't know what the hate is all about. What else?
I've been watching some TV. You know Ghosts?
No.
All right. So Ghosts has become me and my wife's like new favorite show. It's fun. It's a little bit more. Take a step back. There's a BBC show version of it, and it started there before they brought it to the US, and we make ours a little bit more like bubbly.
Yeah, of course.
But essentially, this couple in both versions, they're both very similar, but they have their differences. But the main story is the same. The main girl, she inherits this like mansion. Mm-hmm. And there are ghosts there. And she, like, in the first episodes, it was like, she basically falls and hits her head. And she can now see the ghosts that are there. She now can see ghosts anywhere. So the premise is fun. But it all, like, in the American one, they kind of venture outside the house a little bit sometimes. But for the most part, both shows kind of are about the house.
Okay.
The couple that inherit the house now, they want to turn it into like a B&B.
Okay.
So it's an old house, it needs renovations. There's all this, so you're going through the whole process with them, but it's fun because the ghosts are awesome. They're fucking hilarious.
It's like the Frighteners kind of thing.
Frighteners?
You ever saw the Frighteners? Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's an old movie with Michael J. Fox that was directed by Peter Jackson.
Oh,
and it's all about, it's like a ghost comedy sort of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's really got some inspiration.
Possibly, yeah.
But it's a fun show. And I like the British show much better. It's more of my humor. It's a lot more dry. The American version is a little bit more bubbly, but the characters are cool too. So like both of them have different types of characters, but in the British one, they have like, you know, there's a guy who was beheaded, you know, during the French Revolution. I don't know. I'm making this up.
Or some shit.
Yeah. There's that. There's a caveman. You know, there's a...
Oh, wow.
There's a politician that died, like, in the 90s.
So this is like a horror comedy.
Yeah. Okay. It's not even horror. It's just like it's like a sitcom.
Okay.
So all the ghosts are basically just characters. And it's just, like, shit that they're going through. But, you know, you have a politician in both in American and the British one where he walks around with no pants because he's, like, this crooked politician. He died, like, fucking, yeah, like, doing fucked up shit or whatever. Anyway, but really, really fun. Really funny.
Enjoy. All right, nice. Where you watch that? BritBox or something?
That is on... We watch it on Paramount.
Okay.
So they aired the U.S. version on CBS, and apparently from what I learned was that, I guess during the writer's strike this past summer, they started releasing the British version on Paramount. So there's five seasons of the British one, and there's three of the American one now. So that's how they started kind of doing a little bit of both, I guess. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Cool. This is a cartoon. And Hazbin Hotel. It's an A24 cartoon.
Oh.
And it is very adult. And it's pretty fun. And it's kind of got this musical, like Broadway musical side to it. It's like the animation looks like peak 90s animation. It kind of resembles the Beetlejuice cartoon to a degree, but in much more high fidelity, and it's all about hell and these demons, and it's fun and it's playful. It's kind of like somewhere between 90s cartoons and Powerpuff Girls in terms of the look and the animation.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun.
On what?
What is it on? It's on Prime, actually. Okay. A24 is behind it. Love, and it's all about hell and demons. It does get a little silly. I kind of wish it got a little scarier and took itself a little bit more seriously, but it is a lot of fun, and it's just like a pretty cool cartoon.
Oh, that's awesome. I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah. Hazbin Hotel. definitely check it out. What about you?
More TV. What We Do in the Shadows.
You finally got into it.
Yeah.
I've been telling you for, I think, years now.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta,
yeah. And it was just one of those shows I just never, like, I remember seeing the commercials for it way back in the day, and I just, like, I didn't think it was really anything.
Yeah.
Like,
did you see the movie?
I did.
Okay.
That we talked about. I watched that more, actually, I watched that probably, like, this past fall. I watched it, like, during convention season. And it was fun. I like the show so much better than the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because the movie was, like, okay. Like, I thought it was fine.
Mm, the movie's pretty,
like,
good.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's, I guess, because I had already seen the show so much. Like,
yeah. Oh, you know. Saw the movie after you'd seen the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think, for me, what I love about the show is, like, Nadja is one of my favorite characters. I think she's fucking great.
Yeah.
And there's no Nadja. There's no other female, actually.
Yeah, it's true. It's just three dudes.
But the werewolf stuff is cool. I like how they bring all that stuff in. So yeah, so I've been binge watching those. I'm on episode 3 now. That's my new,
like, lucky. You. I just, you have love, so much look forward
it's
to.
It's so good. They're the characters are so great.
It's great.
Yeah.
And the budget gets higher and higher every season, so the sets look even more incredible. Yeah. But the attention to detail and the look of that show and the cinematography and the set design, it's so good, and it's just so ancient, and I love all the mythology. What I am dying for them to do a prequel series. We want to see them in previous centuries. We want to see them in different time periods.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what's cool about the intro, when you get to see all the pictures of them.
Like, we want that. Stop teasing us. Yeah. Let's do a whole season, or that'd at least awesome. Every once in a while do an episode where we see them in earlier years, because I think that's what everybody
that's
wants.
Cool.
That would
never
be
thought about
so
that.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Because there's mythology there. That's what I think what makes that show so good and so interesting. Yeah. No, I love that show. I love that show a lot. And I think I have exhausted mine, but you have one more.
My last one that I really, this was like a gem for me that I've actually watched it like twice now. Transylvania 6-5000. So you said you had never
heard of it. I'd never heard of it, right? No.
Tubi for the win. Tubi to the rescue.
Fucking Tubi, man.
I saw it on there. I love Jeff Goldblum. And I saw Transylvania, and I was like, what is this? And immediately, like, you know, there's the little preview when you put, you know. It just looked like right up my alley. It's like, it's funny, and it's like, it's just very dry, and like, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm. What's the concept?
So he and his coworker, they're both journalists, and he's basically working at this this newspaper that publishes, it seems like, more like trash, like fucking, like, if you're like the National Enquirer kind of like stuff like that. And he wants a story, like the head editor chief, I guess, whatever, sends them to Transylvania because he wants a story on Frankenstein.
Okay.
Which doesn't make any sense, but he wants, you know, something. So it's him. It's Ed Begley. Okay. Do you know who that is?
Yeah. Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's all these people in this movie. Gina Davis is in it.
Oh, wow.
Jeffrey Jones is in it. And so is Michael Richards. Kramer. Fucking young Kramer.
Whoa.
Before his racist rants.
Right. Before Jeffrey Jones was committed as a pedophile.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Fucking Rooney.
It was during simpler times.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie's from the 70s. And basically they go to Transylvania, and it's like kind of a weird town. It's kind of like the Wicker Man, kind of like weird town. People know that there's shit going on, but it's funny. The dialogue is just fun. It's like, it has that, like, Leslie Nielsen, Naked Gun, like Airplane kind of humor.
Dead and loving it.
Yeah. It's not as silly. It's way more dry, but it's still kind of like the dad joke kind of, like, stuff like that.
I like it.
So it's really funny. It's a lot, like, the dialogue is great. That I put it on Twitter. Now, the second time, I just kind of, like, put it on because I knew I could watch it at any point.
Okay. I got to check that out.
That's one of my new, like, little gems.
All right. Shall we play Blood and Banter?
I thought we were going to go into fun facts.
Oh, let's do that first. Shall we go into fun facts?
Only because I want to go segue directly into my fun fact, which I learned just for looking at the movie from Transylvania 6-5000.
Okay.
So, fun fact. Did you know, I actually didn't, it's probably more common knowledge, I don't follow pop culture stuff, but that Jeff Goldblum was married to Gina Davis.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I knew they dated. I'm pretty sure I knew they dated because they met on the fly, right?
They met on Transylvania 6-5000.
Oh, wow.
That is my fun fact. They met on that set, and they were together during The Fly.
Oh, I didn't know
that. So they went
to
Cronenberg, I guess, to bring her on. So apparently they, Gina Davis was helping Goldblum audition, or I guess like his script and his lines and reading lines and shit like that, to go for his audition for The Fly. And they ended up bringing Gina Davis in too. I thought that was really interesting. So they met on Transylvania 65,000, and then they were together during The Fly. Another little tidbit that I learned about that too is that when they were on the set of The Fly, I guess because, you know, when you start dating somebody, your mannerisms and things, you start saying, like, she was apparently becoming way too much like Jeff Goldblum, so they had to coach her to set.
She was talking like him and
I
stuff?
Guess, like, yeah. What? Like kind of, I guess, they had to have her literally, like, coach her, like, pretty hands-on to get her to
Get the Goldblum out of her.
Yes. Wow. To get the Goldblum out of her. Yes. That's exactly what they did. So I thought that was pretty fucking cool.
Oh, wow.
And then more of the gossip, I think, between 85 and 90 is when they were married, and then they got divorced after that.
Yeah, it's a shame they got divorced. That was like a power couple.
Nice team, right?
Yeah, really nice team.
Goldblum, man. He's so fucking cool.
He's the best. That's one. He's got to make a resurgence. He needs like a Nicolas Cage renaissance. We got to see him in more movies.
He's been in the Marvel stuff.
Oh,
he's
you're right. What am I talking about?
Independence Day, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we haven't seen him a lot lately.
Yeah.
He's doing these commercials and shit, but yeah. A big Goldblum.
That's one
fan.
Dude I'd like to, like, celebrities I don't really care about, but like that's one guy I'd like love to like have a conversation with.
He just seems too.
Like, yeah, like really smart. I've heard that he's like, I could be making this up. Like, he's either got like either education in science or something like that, or he's just really like into it.
I think I heard he's like a genius level. Like, he's a Mensa.
Like,
member.
His IQ is like really high. Yeah. I remember reading that a while ago. Like, he's like actually brilliant.
He seems like,
not just acting. Like, he is.
Yeah. No, the dude, you can tell by fucking hearing cool. like some people talk that yes. dude's definitely superior in a bunch of ways. Yeah. Cool. So
that's my fun fact.
All right. Well, mine is sort of commonly known. Do you know where the term Saved by the Bell comes from?
Not offhand. I feel like I've heard it, but...
Okay. Did you know that in previous centuries...
I know now.
There was a plague that would cause people to basically act as though they were dead. So this was causing a lot of premature burials, basically people being buried alive. So they would install these little bells that would lead into your coffin. So in the case that you woke up and you were in a coffin, you would have to ring the bell. They would dig you up and save you. Hence the term Saved by the Bell, which makes that show seem kind of bizarre now. Like, it's kind of a weird name for a show of that ilk, but there you go. Saved by the Bell. Yeah.
So fun fact to even expand on the lore.
Yeah.
That was a thing too, where when somebody died and you had these vampire hunters going out, like, people didn't know. This is, what was it with, when you got sick during that time, when you're like coughing up blood,
plague,
tuberculosis.
Okay.
So when you died, like, again, people would be buried and like they didn't have the technology, so they would be buried, like, and still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
People would go in and like actually like they would find claw marks and things in the inside of like the like coffins.
Oh, wow.
So they would think that those were vampires.
On the inside of the coffin.
Yes. Because people were trying to get out.
Oh.
So people thought that these were actual vampires. So this is where a lot of the vampire like hunters would go literally dig up bodies and like put wooden stakes in like their hearts and
things. Oh,
like
holy
that.
Shit.
Yeah. Wow. To make sure that they wouldn't come back.
Oh, wow.
And essentially, and when you died of tuberculosis, or when you were dying and you were getting sick and you were coughing up blood, they saw that as a sign as you were a vampire going out and feeding on blood and coming back.
What?
Like, yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
It's that's insane.
I read a lot about that stuff. I have a whole song about being a vampire, like a grave digger.
On with your band Zombie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice. What's the name of the song?
Removing the Head.
Nice.
Because we had two songs, and it was Removing the Head and Destroying the Brain.
Oh, cool.
And that first one is about literally being a gravedigger, because people would go and like they would go and like they would cut off heads and things like that.
So I had no idea.
The song became a story.
So they thought you were coughing up blood. They thought you had like drank blood and you're like vomiting
it up.
You're
a vampire, basically. Yeah. Oh, so when you died, especially, they would go and like put a wooden stake in your heart, or they would cut your head off, like things like that.
Whoa. I did not know that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Shit's crazy, man. When there was no science and like real medicine and things like that.
It was all voodoo, all superstition.
Yeah. There's literally a vampire hunter book. Like Van Helsing is based on like a real person.
Yeah, I think I knew that. I wanna know more about that though. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Shall we play Blood and Banter?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Let me deal some cards. Here, I'll give you half and then you pick one.
What is Blood and Banter?
What is Blood and Banter? You tell me what Blood and Banter is.
Blood and Banter.
Yes.
Conversation card game that I had created. And basically, conversation cards have kind of taken off over the last few years. They have different decks for. It's literally to create conversations. Maybe because we're in a more antisocial world. I don't know what it is. People don't know how to conversate.
Yeah.
Converse. So they have different packs. My wife loves these kinds of games. And, you know, she likes bringing stuff to the family parties and things like that. Dinner. And they're great. So I hadn't seen one that was horror focused. There were some kind of like kid versions, like Halloween, mm-hmm. like, you know, but nothing like horror focused. So I made one. And that brings us to our Blood and Banter
segment yeah.
today to kind of take some of these cards for a world to get to know each other a little bit better, spark some conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you gave me some advanced decks and I went through the entire deck in probably like three different dates with my wife. Nice. We had so much fun with it. We just like every time we go to the bar, like, oh, did you bring Blood and Banter? Yeah, let's go. So cool. This game is a lot of fun. Whole lot of fun. So awesome. Yeah, we're going to do a couple of them for you right now. So they're basically cards with questions on them and then just see where the conversation goes. Do you want to go first?
Sure. Are there any horror movies you refuse to watch again?
Well, we kind of touched on this. Mm-hmm. I don't refuse to watch Martyrs again. I do want to see it again. I just don't know when. But is there anything I refuse to see again? Oh, man. I feel like I should have an answer to go.
Same. And I feel like that could be either because it was so bad or because it was so...
Oh, maybe.
Or because it was so scary or like too much or...
Mm-hmm. Irreversible. If you count that as a horror movie, I don't ever want to sit through that again. That's pretty rough. That's Gaspar Noé. And he just is known for just tearing you apart.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of, but no, that is a great question. Cause yeah, Martyrs. I love, I do want to see it again, but it's hard to build the nerve to see it again. Serbian film, as fucked up as it is. It's cinematically, it's fantastic. It's so good. I do want to see it again. Somebody, I own it on Blu-ray. People think I'm fucking crazy. Somebody sent it to me. Okay. Somebody sent me Serbian film on Blu-ray. I didn't feel the need. Like every Christmas we watch Serbian film. No, somebody sent it to me. So I have it. I would watch that again. Oh man, I'm struggling with this one. Let's do another one. Can you give me a new one?
Name a Disney villain who deserves their own horror movie.
Oh man, probably Captain Hook.
Ooh.
Hook would be cool. Or Sid from Toy Story.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I kept waiting for him to come back in the other movies. He never does. But Sid from Toy Story, that would be cool. We're going to kind of get a Scar movie. There's a Mufasa prequel coming
out. Is there really?
Yeah. Ooh. It's about him and his brother, who's not named Scar in the movie because he doesn't have his scar yet. So that'll be interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, I think probably Captain Hook. Captain Hook would be cool. Yeah.
I mean, I should definitely have an answer for this one too, but I think Ursula could be pretty fucking cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Cause even like, I wasn't a huge fan of the new Little Mermaid, but she was great. She was great. Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
Surprisingly was very, very good.
Felt like it was good casting.
I thought she was, I think she might've been my favorite part of that movie. Nice. She's pretty badass. They did a good job.
Sweet. Did you ever see the Princess and the Frog?
No.
It's this awesome Disney movie that like nobody talks about. I know of it. Yeah. It's so good.
There's a few movies that I read an article recently and I think that was one of them that it was during the transition between 2D and like 3D.
It was like the last 2D movie. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's got a really cool villain in it. This guy who does like all this kind of voodoo and magic and stuff like that. Oh, he's awesome. Such a cool villain. Yeah. Such a cool villain. That's cool. I think that guy, Keith David, does his voice.
Does he?
Yeah.
He's the fucking man. We were talking about voices earlier.
I know. Yeah. Oh yeah. That dude's got a voice. Keith David does his voice.
I knew him from Spawn. If you ever saw the HBO series Spawn. Ooh.
Oh, no, but I saw the movie. I forgot that there was a series.
Yeah, dude, the fucking HBO series is...
Is he Spawn?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's phenomenal. That's how I knew. And then he plays Goliath in Gargoyles.
Yes. Which they're doing... I think they're bringing that cartoon back.
Yeah.
Spawn, apparently, Blumhouse is doing their movie, but it's been a long time.
They've been talking about a new movie for like fucking 15 years. And then Jamie Foxx is going
to be Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the original movie. It's got some... awful, god awful CGI.
It was so
in it.
Bad.
But it's kind of awesome.
I'm a huge Spawn fan. Like, I grew up like with the comics and stuff.
Yeah.
And the animated series before the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
animated series is still, it's so good.
I read the comic books.
Yeah, because it's dark. It's like, it's adult. It's completely like.
Oh, that's what was on HBO.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was no live action. Okay, I forgot. Yeah, there was a cartoon. That's awesome.
And that was Keith David. But yeah. But the other thing I was going to say, back to your point of like the Disney movies, is it Iron Giant?
Oh yeah,
it was another one that's like, it's so good that like it got, it was in that
Lost in the Shuffle.
Yeah,
that was a great movie. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So if you could watch any horror movie in a drive-in theater, what would it be?
The original Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah.
Like the weekend it came out in a drive-in, yeah, just see people's really reactions. Cool. Yeah. I had a conversation with Bill Lustig, who's the director of Maniac.
Hmm.
And Maniac Cop and a bunch of other movies. Maniac was his probably his most well-known movie. He talked about seeing Texas Chainsaw Massacre in an old grindhouse theater in New York in like when it came out in the 70s. Hell yeah. Back in these grindhouse theaters, people were doing drugs, people were having sex,
people
were getting into fights. Yeah. Like, these theaters were insane, just complete bedlam. And he saw that movie and he said the crowd was just going completely nuts. And it was at midnight. Man, I would have loved to have seen that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Super cool.
I said the same thing. I'd love to see fucking The Exorcist when that first came out. Like,
oh, yeah.
My parents, like, they saw it in the theaters. My mom still, like, she remembers.
People
like,
were passing out.
Yeah.
People were passing out.
That Terrifier 2 shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently some people died watching The Exorcist. They had, like, heart attacks.
I heard that
too. It was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much. Yeah.
It's at that time, man.
Yeah, man. Should we do one more each?
Yeah.
All right, cool. What do you got?
If you could watch any horror movie again for the first time, what would it be?
Beetlejuice? Maybe. Yeah, it'd probably be Beetlejuice. There's something so magical about it. Or maybe Candyman. Mm. I love Candyman. I was so scared when I was a kid when I saw it. It was so terrifying. Or actually, I don't know, I'm giving you like 17 different answers. From Dusk Till Dawn, I love. Mm. I love that movie. Yeah. I'd love to rediscover that movie. Yeah. What about you? What would yours be?
It might be Hereditary, just because of that feeling, that story.
Yeah.
But I would even say Terrifier 2.
Mm.
And those are newer movies. Like, I mean, I'd love to say, like, to rewatch. Maybe for nostalgia purposes, The Night of the Living Dead, the remake, the Tony Todd version. That's probably my favorite zombie movie of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
The remake?
The remake with Tony Todd. No, I never saw that. The one that Tom Savini directed.
Fuck yeah. Yes. Oh, that was my first like introduction.
Really?
Maybe after Thriller, that was my introduction as a kid. I remember watching that.
And it's a good movie.
Oh, it's great. It's a great remake. It's that, so then. Good.
I love Tony Todd.
And the original, it follows the script of the original like really, really well. Mm-hmm. Like I went back and I saw the original way later in my life after the remake.
Okay.
And I was really impressed with the original. Like just like how good
the original still holds up. Yeah.
So I still take the 90s version just because it's more modern, but it's more gory, like it's Savini effects, like all these things too. And Tony Todd is the fucking man.
Yeah. This is pre-Candyman.
Yeah. So I don't know. That movie is awesome. So
okay,
for nostalgia purposes.
Huh? Yeah. I have to see that now.
Oh yeah.
Night of the Living Dead remake.
For that, for the nostalgia purposes of like watching with my dad and stuff, like yeah.
That's cool.
Otherwise, but for the feeling, I don't know. Terrifier 2, we talked about this. I saw it the second time with you.
Yep. We had fun. You were laughing your ass off.
The second time was just as good as the first. And let me tell you, both times I've never had a more fun experience in a movie in my entire life. A more memorable experience. Both times, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, even the second time was just, it was almost as good as the first.
It's bringing back that feeling of danger in horror movies that I feel like most of us horror fans chase after we see horror movies when we're really young. We see movies that push our boundaries and then we're scared and feeling the thrill of that scare and that sense of, I don't know if I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
is really, really thrilling. Yeah. And it's, you chase it like a drug for the rest of your life. Exactly, as a horror fan. Yep. Terrifier brings you close, or at least brought me close. Like, damn, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
How bad is this going to be in terms of just being graphic? It's got a danger to it. And there's an excitement, and you feel it in the crowd. And he brought that back in a way that I haven't seen anybody do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Damian Leone talks about how, you know, like, he tries to do, like, not too much. He'll give you enough. He'll give you a little bit more, but, like, he's not going to, like, you know, he's not going to hold the camera too long. He's not going to, but it's enough that it's just, like, you know. Yeah. And the hacksaw kill in the first one's fucking iconic.
Oh, my God.
And the second movie, I mean, that scene in the bedroom, man, that is still...
So nuts.
Whew. I actually watched that movie again the other day, and I hadn't seen it in a while, and I'm like, damn.
I watched it, I think I've seen it 3 times now. I don't know how it's 2.5 hours long.
It doesn't need to be 2.5 hours.
Well, it doesn't need to be, but it doesn't feel like it.
When I rewatch it again,
you're like, oh, this is long.
The third and probably 4 times now I've seen it, because I've seen it a few times.
Yeah.
And I watched it the other day with my stepson, and the last, like, 20 minutes is, like, dragging. And okay. He's like, all right, it's starting to drag now. I'm like, I get it. It's toward the end, like, when, you know, the fight scenes start happening, and it's just like, you just kind of want to, like, get it going. And, but still, but the first time I remember watching it, thinking it was long, but it didn't feel
long.
Like I was fucking pulling teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. The more you watch it, the more it feels long. But yeah, it's the first couple times I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot this is really long, but it doesn't feel like it. It's like, oh, we're at the end already. I don't know. I feel like it flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did such a good job. Did I tell you when I finally met, I got to meet Damien and, okay.
I'll yeah.
Get to the story. Like, that was, it was fucking awesome to meet them.
Yeah, man. He knows what he's doing. And, he got it. I think he's repped by WME now, Damien.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's probably going to have a front row seat to possibly direct some other major franchise, which would be awesome.
Fuck yeah.
But he's going to want to do it his way, as he should. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to want a studio saying, you can't have this much blood, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you can't say this. And he's like, fuck you, I'll make my own movies.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that kind of punk rock ethos, which I like.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for more Terrifier movies, and I'm wondering what else is in that brain of his, you know, because I feel like he's used to working unhinged and unapologetic and without having to answer to anybody, as he should.
Yeah.
Because I think the studio never would have made Terrifier.
Or Terrifier 2.
But look at how well they did. I mean, I think that he's just really of that ethos of, I'm going to do it my way, myself, and the movie's going to be what people want.
Well, that's what makes me feel good about 3. Like, they've been talking about, like, it's going to go to a big studio, all these things, too. I don't think there's been any news on that.
It shouldn't. It'd be stupid if it did, because they wouldn't make as much money, because they would tone it down.
Yep. Like, just do your thing, man.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking do it, you know? Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. And did you see the teaser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas Horror.
And when I met David Howard Thornton, he was like, oh yeah. He's like, I am a fucking bitch in this. He was like, wait till you see like what I'm doing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got excited. Hell I can't wait. Is there a release date on that yet?
No.
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
No.
I'm sure there's enough, like, their script. I don't even know if they've started. I don't know where, but he's probably got the script at least. And
yeah.
I mean, Damien has talked about how he's got, like, you know, he's got enough, like, he's got lore, and he's had things, like, planned for Art the Clown, and
yeah,
that's
No, there's a lot of mythology there. That's our new Freddy.
We haven't had that in a while.
No, we haven't
icon,
had that
in
a while.
An icon.
No.
You know, and I'm telling you, I got a lot of shit for putting him on that Murderverse poster. After,
really?
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, he doesn't belong along the rim on the right.
Because that's, he's also bullshit, kind of in the center. Like, right. He's with, like, the big four.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before Terrifier, too. But I just, like, loved him. I thought he was, like, just such a great character. Like, refreshing to have something new.
Yeah.
And after 2, I was like, fuck that. I'm so glad he's on there now. And people have not given me shit ever since then.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
What do you do if you think your house is haunted?
You know, it's funny because you watch that show Ghosts.
Yep.
And I think about it all the time where it's like there could be like 3 fucking people hanging out in here right now just watching us and hanging out, making fun of us. Like, I think about that stuff all the time. So it's funny because I kind of think about it a little bit more lightheartedly.
Okay.
But if you're talking like a poltergeist shit, I mean, I'm still Catholic. I'll go down to the street. I'll go straight to the church.
You go to the church.
You know?
You pull in Father.
Get something here, you know?
Yeah.
and then move out if you have to. Hopefully that shit don't follow you.
That's the move. That's hopefully the thing. Yeah, hopefully you don't have an insidious.
I mean, yeah, you get that shit attaching you. That's yeah, insidious.
You don't engage. Don't engage. That's the thing. Don't fuck around with Ouija boards. Don't fuck around with seances either, because then it connects to you. And then it'll be like, oh, I'm gonna follow you.
So you open those fucking gates, no fucking way, man. Yeah. Dude, I had sleep paralysis for a long time.
Oh, did you see weird shit?
I never saw anything.
Okay.
But the feeling, the terrifying feeling of being awake and like not being able to move.
Yeah, that's scary.
When I came back from tour in 2012, and then everyone's like, you know, they attribute to like stress and things like that.
Yeah.
It happened like a handful of times, you know, in a short span. And it hadn't happened in a really long time up until maybe a year, maybe probably like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I was with my wife now. And like I had told her these stories. Mm-hmm. And there was one night or one morning where it happened, and I don't know why or what it was. And I like couldn't move. I could barely open my mouth, and she heard me. And like, she was like, that was fucking terrifying. Like, it was in the middle of the night. That's what it was.
Could she shake you awake?
She woke me up, I think. Like, I think I might have come out of it, but she heard me. She was like, it was scary. Like, whoa. You know, but yeah, it was.
Like, what were you like screaming thing. Or?
I was trying to, yeah. So every time it's happened, it's like, you can't open your mouth, or you're trying to like, you know, and I'm trying to say like, babe, like I'm trying to like mouth it. And like, it's just scary. Like, nothing's coming out. You're like,
did you see the nightmare in the movie?
Yeah, I did. I didn't like it. I thought it was a little too. Again, like, this is also my experience. I've had it happen to me now probably at least 5 times.
Yeah.
And I never saw like demons. I never, it's just, it was literally like, you know, like I just couldn't move. I couldn't speak. And it was, that's scary alone.
Yeah.
I just felt like all those, it seemed a little like doctored. Mm. All those stories. They seemed a little bit too convenient to like have a man in the shadows and like every single one of them. I'm not saying that there's not people that don't have that, but yeah, it was too much. I couldn't relate to it for having my own experiences, and it wasn't scary because I have experienced it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so no, I feel you.
Now, have I seen some shit? Like, yeah, know, that's why I also story. Like, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. Cool. Well, all right. I think we did it. That's our first howl. I think we're going to definitely do a few more of these and get our overall rhythm down, but we want to hear what you guys think. What did you like? What didn't you like? What should we do? What shouldn't we do next time? And, till then, we will see you next time on The Howl.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, why not share it with your friends and family on social media? Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at I'm Nick Taylor. That's I am Nick Taylor, and on Twitter at the same handle. Thanks again for listening to the Nick Taylor Horror Show. We scare because we care. Hey guys, one last thing before you head off, and this is The Howl. How would you like a monthly newsletter featuring a recap of the latest horror news, my personal movie recommendations, updates from the show, and cool stuff I've recently discovered? If this sounds like something you'd enjoy, sign up for my monthly email newsletter, The Howl, today. You can sign up for The Howl by visiting nicktaylor.com/The Howl. That's nicktaylor.com/The Howl.